Today, we're going to begin exploring nine arts of spiritual conversations. If you missed last week, we talked about the fact that we're going to go through this series exploring practical steps we can take in order to build authentic, Christ-centered relationships with other people. The mission of the church is to make disciples of all nations, but we're not really effective in that if we're just going out to tell people what they ought to believe. Practicing these arts will help us know people better and open doors to explore spiritual beliefs and the relationship with God that Jesus made possible. And these are ways that Jesus himself interacted with people. It's important to know right away that there is an order to how you put these arts into building relationships. There's a progression. The first step is noticing, which simply means being aware of those around you and paying close attention to what God might be doing in their lives. When you read through the Gospels, you can see that Jesus was a master at this. He noticed other people around him. During the 3 years that he was on the earth teaching about the kingdom of God, he constantly had crowds following him. Yet he noticed individuals within those crowds and had a way of focusing attention on them and what God was doing in their lives. I have a couple examples to share with you about this. The first is from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 9. An interaction with a man named Zacchaeus. So Luke 19, starting in verse 1, says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus looked up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. So Jesus took notice of Zacchaeus. He turned his attention away from the crowd and took note of him. He didn't just give a general greeting, but made a specific personal connection with him. The next example we see is in Luke chapter 8. Verses 40 through 48. And here we read, now when Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, the ruler of a synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of about 12, was dying. As Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that the power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him, and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Jesus' intention on noticing people is especially apparent in this situation. First of all, he's once again surrounded by a crowd. They're jostling up against him and pressing on him. But he notices something different about the touch from this woman. And of course, this is Jesus we're talking about. He felt power going out from him in that moment. That part might be unique to Jesus, but the point I want to highlight today is that he stopped to take note of it. The woman believed she would be healed simply by touching his cloak, and she was. Jesus could have just ignored that and continued on with his errand, but he didn't. He stopped and talked to her. Now, this is significant, especially in this example, because he had an urgent matter to take care of. He was on his way to heal Jairus' daughter. Jairus and those with him, I'm sure, were determined to get Jesus there as quickly as possible. In fact, as you read on, you discover someone came running up to tell Jairus his daughter had, in fact, died, And you know in that moment, there were some people disappointed with Jesus because he stopped to take care of this other woman rather than just hurrying on to take care of this daughter. Now, the end of the story is that Jesus did heal that daughter. He told the crowds that she was not dead. She was merely sleeping. But notice, in spite of the urgency of this situation and the jostling of the crowd, Jesus set aside his own agenda for a moment. He paid attention to this one woman. He didn't just plow ahead with the matter he was called to attend to. He turned and paid attention to another person in need. He identified and spoke to her directly into her life. Jesus made it his habit to pay attention to individuals around him. They were not just an anonymous crowd. They weren't just the audience for his teaching. They were people who mattered to God. In Matthew 9:35-38, we read this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, and therefore, to send out workers into his harvest." Jesus had compassion on people. He cared about their lives and what was important for them. He was aware of the people around them and paid close attention to what God might be doing in their lives. As Christians, we are called to have the same kind of attitude toward other people. And we read this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, which says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in the same spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." We're called to value others above ourselves. That's the attitude required to truly notice other people. How often, though, do we race through life going from one task to the next? We need to go out to the store and pick something up. We need to take the kids to their next scheduled activity. We need to make it to an appointment. If we're not focused on the task at hand, we're thinking about all the other things that we should be doing, or we're preoccupied with our own concerns and frustrations. We tend to be very task-oriented as a culture. We go out into the world, our attention is often on our own tasks and concerns. In essence, we're valuing ourselves above everyone else. We can move easily through a crowd without ever noticing anyone in particular. "Not so with you," Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 20:26. He said, "Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." He's calling us to an attitude of service to others in all we do. So the first step in noticing others is to go out into the world looking for opportunities to serve. Even while you're accomplishing your own task, it doesn't mean that we need to completely abandon our own priorities. God doesn't tell us to do that. Jesus still took care of Jairus' daughter, even though he stopped to help this other woman along the way. And in Philippians, Paul says to look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. That we need to switch from one to the other. God is calling us to expand our view of the world, to look up, to look out around us, expand our attention beyond our own self-interests, and really take notice of other people around us. So learning to notice others involves being intentional about expanding our sights beyond ourselves. If we're going to be effective disciple makers for Jesus, we also need to consider our attitude toward others as we notice them. Do we look at them with judgment? Are we trying to uncover and point out their sin? Do we observe with suspicion those who might be in opposition to us, to Jesus, to the church? Do we look at them with fear for what they might do or say to us? Do we concern ourselves with the differences of opinion that we might have? Negative prejudgments like these will block us from truly seeing other people for who they are. In Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10, Jesus describes the kind of attitude God has for people who don't know or acknowledge him yet. Let's read that. Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. It says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found the lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of angels of God over one sinner who repents." Every person is someone made in the image of God. Even if they're far from him right now, he considers them to be a valuable treasure worth seeking out. They've been lost from him, and he wants to bring them back to himself. Our attitude in noticing others should be based on God's view of them. We should seek to find out what's valuable about them, to draw out the good that God has put into them. So what are the things that we can do to become even better at noticing than we are today? How can we practice this? I have three practical suggestions to get us started. First, simply practice intentionally paying attention to other people. The next time you go out in the world and get around people you don't know, which I know is extremely rare right now, but it's going to happen before we know it, and we want to be ready when the time comes. Be intentional about observing those other people. Consider what they're doing. Ask yourself how they might be feeling right now. Do they appear happy or sad, content or upset? Have you ever noticed them before? What can you see happening in their life at this moment? Just pay attention. Observe. At this point, you don't even really have to say anything to them. Just notice them. Expand your view of your world outward to the other people around you and get used to paying attention to other people. And the next tip is, as you're observing, maybe you can offer up a silent prayer for them. Pray that God would bless their day. Show them his love and provision. Pray for their relationships. Especially pray that God would make himself known to them in some way that he hasn't, in some way they haven't experienced at this point. This kind of prayer is really just focused on you thinking about this other person, noticing who they are, noticing what might be important in their life, and offering that up to God. This is another way of expanding your view outward even further. Now you're thinking about what might matter to this person and asking God to enter into their life and draw them closer into relationship with him. In this way, you're also being intentional about asking God to take the first steps in reaching someone who is far from him at this point. Finally, as you observe and pray, there are going to be times where you actually engage, you're prompted to say something. It could be a simple, "Hi, how are you?" Or maybe you compliment something you've observed about them or offer to help, whatever that may be. The important point for noticing is that you genuinely listen to what they say. Don't be quick to speak yourself, or quick to move on, but listen to what they say. I think about how common it is for us here in Minnesota to smile and greet people as we pass them by. But so often we just follow this script that goes something like, "Hey, how are you?" And the response is, "Oh, I'm good. How are you?" And we respond with, "I'm good." And then we're done and we move on without really even paying attention to one another. How about instead if we ask someone a question, we genuinely listen to the response. Even if they just say, "I'm good," how are they saying it? What else are they expressing? How can you follow up on what they say, or just simply pay attention to what they're expressing and take notice of who they are and what's going on in their life? Let's not be in a rush to be done talking or be in a hurry to start talking about ourselves, but practice genuinely listening to the other person, noticing who they are and what you can learn about them and what God might be doing in their life. Now, this may all sound pretty simple to you today, but noticing is only the first step. And even though this may sound pretty basic, and some of you could be really good at noticing others at this point, it's an important first step that we don't skip over. It's a step to building Christ-centered, deeply caring relationships with other people. It's so easy for us in our busy, results-oriented world to overlook this step and miss really paying attention to the people around us. You can make a world of difference in someone else's life simply by showing them right away that you see them and that you care. You hear what they're expressing. That simple step is going to open up so many doors with a lot of people for further conversation down the road. And even if you never see that person again, you have at least shown them in that moment that they matter. That alone can plant a seed of faith that grows in their heart and begins to open their eyes to seeing how much more they matter to Jesus. So as we consider how we can transform the way we go about fulfilling Jesus' commission to go and make disciples, we're going to begin by growing in the way we notice other people. Let's ask God this week to help us expand our sights and really see what's happening in the lives of people around us, to really live Philippians 2, intentionally looking not only to our own interests, but to the interests of others, and valuing them above ourselves. Let's be a church that goes out to really see other people and see what God is doing in their lives, wherever they may be on their journey with Him. Let's pray and give thanks to God for His call and His opportunities that He will give us to build these relationships. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You that You have noticed us, that You've paid attention to who we are despite our sin, despite our desire to live for ourselves. You've noticed and showed Your care and love for us. And we thank You for the new life we have because of that. And as Your people, Lord, I pray that You would help us offer the same to others, to genuinely love them and care about them and show them by paying attention to them. Expand our view of our world. Help us to just make it our habit, Lord, to look up and look out around us and pay attention to those around us. I thank You for blessing us with Your presence today, Lord, for gathering us together as You continue to do. Lord, I ask for You to continue to guide us in all that You called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thanks everybody. It's great to be with you. Let's go ahead and take some time to just fellowship with one another.